Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
You've chosen a podcast by Low Moon Vagabonds. Vagabonds is the newest section of the campaign, and we are looking forward to entertaining you going forward.
The party, all of you, by the end of this session, hopefully we'll choose an actual name for this segment of the campaign. So far, we're using vagabonds/onward, but maybe something better will come up. We'll come up with it this time. The party had been at the inn. Nick joined them just in time for them to find out that there was a kill order put out for all of the elves. And Toe also joined in at the same time. And then Umbar joined in. Umbar and the gnomes actually came up through the floor during the fight. So they were transported there by quote-unquote magic. You'll find out later probably that it's not technically magic that they do, but when they were transported there and they came just in time. The truth is, even though a couple of you did go down in the fight, you did a pretty good job of holding off the onslaught, and you were taken aback a little bit as you were attacked from all sides, and the innkeeper basically deserted you and left you to fight for your lives. You do not know why there was a kill order put out for you, but you do know that it's 1,000 gold. Nick was able to tell you that, find out that, and it's a lot of money. And so basically any ruffian, any criminal, any pirate, you know, any guy who's out for the money, mercenary, whatever, 1,000 gold goes a long way. And so you're in grave danger and need to get out of town. There is a gnome at the docks that you were told about. His name is the Cuss. That's what they call him anyways, probably a nickname, you think. And he has a small ship, and you were told that he would be very likely to get you out of town. He is a friend to elves in general. You also know, both Nick and Toe know, that now you will be affiliated with them, even though the kill order was not issued for Nick or Toe, but because you were involved in that first fight, you could be wrapped up in it pretty easily, and your friends of the guild probably aren't going to be able to protect you. So it's kind of going to be like somebody might snatch you up to kind of beat it out of you or something like that to find out where they went, that kind of thing. So you're not safe either. And so the plan was, as we broke up, that the party was leaving post haste, leaving the tavern, leaving the inn, to head to the docks and try to find the Cuss. His ship is supposed to be sitting at the pier. And you did get a little bit of information of like what the ship looks like and where it's approximately where it's at, because it's a big port city and there's probably dozens of ships docked. Okay. And so, the one issue, that we hadn't dealt with last time, but as we pick it up, it has been dealt with, is that a lot of you had a lot more equipment than you can reasonably carry. So like you might have, I think most everybody has some way of setting up like a little tent or lean-to or some rope and, you know, things like that, that you'd be uncomfortable for you to carry all that at one time. And what happened was, after we stopped playing in the interim, because we're doing a little fast forward, arrangements were made for a cart. And so you have a cart with all the extra belongings in it. You're able to ride on the cart. It's really only made for two people, but anybody can ride on the cart that wants to. You did not have horses, so it's not really like saddle horses and ride them, or you don't have anything like that. It's just a run or ride the cart, whichever you prefer personally, to get down to the docks and find the Cuss and get out of town. Now, as soon as we start playing, you have your own choice as to what you want to do. Okay, so that was the plan at the end of the last session, was to take the cart, or whatever means, which turned out to be a cart, and head to the docks and get on the gnome's ship and get out of town. Okay, so as soon as we start, it's up to you. We're picking up, the cart has been hitched, the horse is there, the extra gear has been loaded in the cart, and everybody's kind of gathered around. The innkeeper is standing by, and he is the one who helped provide the cart and so on. And he's expressed his displeasure at them trying to kill you in his inn. And the bad guys who survived were all arrested anyway, so it's definitely illegal. It's a lawful society. They don't want to. They don't want to see people murdered in broad daylight.
War dog running loose. And now there's a war dog running loose.
Well, not really running loose, right? Yeah, I guess he is running loose because you don't have any control over him, right? So, yes. That's going to be a problem. But not rape, not for you, not for right this second, okay? All right, so you're standing around the cart. The horse is hitched. What do you do? Does anyone have the ability to steer a cart? Check your character sheet for
I have land-based
animal handling. So you could, based on that, you could ride on the horse that is pulling the cart proficiently. And so anyone can sit there and steer the cart, generically speaking, but if something goes wrong, then you could have trouble.
I will definitely ride the horse.
Okay. So the current plan is Umbar is mounting the horse, and he's going to ride the horse and steer the horse with the cart in tow. That leaves the six of you to either ride on the cart or move alongside the cart. Okay, so Nick is running alongside. Others running alongside. You know you're in a hurry to get out of town, so. Hannah, are you riding or running alongside?
Riding.
Yeah.
Of course. I'm riding too.
Okay, so Anne jumps up on the cart. There's a seat. There are two seat for two in the front of the cart, and then there's room to sit or stand in the back of the cart.
I'm gonna sit down.
Okay, on the front seat or in the back of the cart?
In the front.
Okay, so Anne and Iris are in the front of the cart. That leaves Toe's gonna run. He'll run along. That's fine.
That makes sense.
Okay, and then we've got Raylan. Raylan will ride in the back of the cart because running along isn't really an option for him because his armor will slow him down.
If I'm not mistaken, he's still pretty messed up, isn't he?
Yeah, relative to healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, he is, and he's got bandages holding some of his body parts in, that kind of thing. So, and that leaves Hibiscus. Are you running or riding the back of the cart?
Running on the cart.
Okay. All right. And so you start toward the docks. The cartwheels roll along. The horse whinnies occasionally. You begin to hear a variety of other sounds. The city is alive. So it's probably early to mid morning. It's 55, 60 degrees outside. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. Limited cloud cover, like just puffy clouds drifting by in the sky. It's really pretty much a beautiful day. There's still a lot of water on the ground. There's puddles everywhere, that kind of thing. You remember that it was a huge storm that went through over the last several days. As the cart rolls out from behind the inn, the innkeeper steps out on the porch and heads back inside. Gulls are swooping left and right in the sky ahead of you as you head toward the docks. You saw the docks, all of the elves saw, and Hannah, I'm sorry, and Anne. Your name, your character name is very close to your actual name, so apologize in advance if I do that sometimes. But anyway, all of you saw the docks because you came from the ship originally. And so you kind of know it's a straight shot down, and then you're going to turn right into the bulk of the dock. There's piers, there's actual docks that go out in the water. You can see it's the Great Northern Sea, and you can see it to the horizon from there. Okay, so you already know that kind of how to get there. As you're headed down to the docks, as I said, the city is alive. The people going both directions in the street. No one's really paying you any attention. So the common man probably doesn't know anything about a 1,000 gold piece kill order. They're just going about their business. You see a guy selling stuff on the side of the street. He's selling bags and bolts of material. He's calling to people to come and buy whatever. The gulls swoop around in the sky. As you're coming down, a gull comes down the street and right toward you on the horse, and then veers off and up onto one of the buildings. It is interested in giving financially to Low Moon and support the campaign. Text LMGIVE, that's LM Give, to 419-419-0095. Otherwise, a quick and easy journey to the docks. So it's about a half mile And the whole thing is kind of sloping downward. As you get there, you can see masts of ships sticking up and gulls and other birds like pelicans in the sky above the water. And beyond these last few houses, you got a wide road beyond these last few houses, you can see the piers basically begin. And you know that the main area is to the right. So you take that corner to the right. And then all of a sudden, as you take the corner to the right, it's like the town pretty much cleared out. You see the gulls are still there, but you don't see anybody on the street leading to the piers. Now, when you came up, when it was storming outside really bad and you came up this way, you saw people standing like on the porches and stuff, and they had cloaks protecting them from the rain and that kind of thing. In the distance, you can hear the sounds of shipbuilding. But this actual road is pretty much empty. Then the cart pulls up to a stop on a large flat stone surface. It's cobblestones, you know, that's like a little bit bumpy stone, and it's intermittent gray and black. And you can see the pier is laid out before you. And right there is a pier that is, it's about 20 feet wide. It's made of a reddish colored wood, and it's floating on the water, right? So it's on a floating surface. And then it shoots out into the water about 125, 150 feet. And there are several arms that branch off of it. And you can see that there are ships sitting at anchor, various sizes, mostly smaller in this close. And then straight out that arm to the right, which technically you could drive you could ride the cart right out onto there if you wanted to. There aren't any carts on there. RJ, catch that?
Yep.
So you could ride the cart right out onto the pier if you wanted to. But there are places where there's like baggage. Bags, barrels, crates on the pier, right, as you go out. So driving the cart out there would be kind of like meandering left and right and working your way through all of the baggage. And then the horse stops. He doesn't, unless you push him, he doesn't go out onto the pier. Okay. You're scanning.
I'm not going to force it. If the horse stops, I'm just going to let him. I'm not going to force him onto the pier.
Okay, so you're scanning, looking out across. You can see sailors working on the various ships, but this pier, this main pier, which normally would be a hub of activity, is empty. You don't see anybody at all. In fact, you see a place where it looks like somebody was carrying baggage and somebody just like set it down right in the middle of the walkway and disappeared. So it's enough to make you feel a little bit nervous.
Okay. So there's nobody around?
So there's people working on the ships, but there's nobody on the pier or on any of the arms off of the pier that you can see. Okay. So everybody can roll a d20 as you're scanning across the harbor. So d20 is the big one. Got those numbers are 20. Okay. 20?
Yeah. 3, 5.
Okay.
15.
Okay.
6. You rolled a 20, you were blissfully unaware.
7.
Okay. So everybody but Iris can see the ship that was previously described. It's what's called a small bark. Okay, so it's a ship that has a raised deck on the back, has a railing along all the way around the boat. It has a raised deck on the front, and the midship sits a little lower, and that has one main mast that goes up the middle and a foremast that sits in front of that. So it's a two-masted ship, and the whole ship is only about 40 feet long. And it's flying a gnomish banner, which actually has a gear and a flame. So it's a dark blue banner with a white gear and a white flame burning next to it. And that's what you were told was the Cuss's ship. It is about 2/3 of the way down this long pier, and then turn right and go like 2 berths to the right. So even though it looks a little kind of scary because nobody's around, there's the ship that you're headed for. What do you do? And Iris hasn't seen it yet, so you're still sitting in the wagon, scanning through the boats and looking to see.
I'll let everyone know that that's the ship we're supposed to get on.
Okay. Well, Umbar says, that's the ship right there. Somewhat of a conspiratorial tone. It continues to work on boats around you. The water is splashing against the pier. But not like a lot. It's just like a constant that you can hear.
I'll hop off the horse and start grabbing some of the stuff off the wagon.
Okay. So Umbar starts to unload the wagon. Toe will jump on the bandwagon, no pun intended, and jump off the cart and start grabbing some of the heavier gear as well. And he says, we've got to get moving. We're going to get killed.
Oh, relax. We ain't going to get killed.
Raylan says, that's easy for you to say.
Hey, it's not my fault. I was late to the party.
It isn't? Did you sleep in?
No. The dead one. It was his fault.
Oh, makes perfect sense to me. Justice has been served. Okay. Right, so, unless I hear other...
Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customized coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
So as people are gathering their belongings off the cart and preparing to make it a dash down the pier. Is that correct? Okay. Anyone doing anything else before you start to head that way? Say again?
Continue checking the surroundings.
Okay, yep. Trying to be alert. Okay. So as you look back at the town, you can see it is a bustling community. This is a big town. It goes, when you look what would be southward, I don't know if anybody actually has direction sense. When you look southward, it goes all the way to the horizon on like 120 degrees. The piers go out to the left and the right, and there are dozens of ships in port. You can see a bunch of ships, at least a dozen ships, that are bigger ships that are too big to come in here. And they're sitting at anchor out, kind of rocking on the waves, sitting at anchor. Some of them are warships and big, like 300 to 400, like football field length, big ships. They call them rate one ship of the line. So these are big vessels. Okay. All right. Are we just moving in a mob as we're heading out there? Is anyone leading? Is anyone?
I'll try to shuffle that mob to go first.
Okay, so Umbar is in the back or trying to be?
Okay.
You missed.
It's way over there.
Oh, it's in front of you.
Okay, so Umbar is trying to be toward the back. Raylan is in the back as well because he's a little beat up. He's not moving as fast as everybody else. Anyone want to lead the way? Or we're just all going to like try to keep shoving to the back and stand in the mob?
I guess I'll lead the way.
Okay, Nick will lead the way. At this point, you do feel like you're sort of escorting them out of town. It's kind of become your role.
I kind of feel bad because...
Your guild is there. Yeah, sure.
So, out of play.
Yes.
Since I'm a gnome, I can summon the Earth Elemental?
No, that's only Dark
Gnome.
That's
only Deep Gnome, right?
Deep Gnome, okay. Correct. Okay. And, alright, so Nick is leading the way, Umbar and Raylan are in the rear. And the ladies are in the middle in sort of like a square. Does that sound good to you? The Lotus is on the front right behind Nick. Iris is on the back left. Anne is on the front left. And
this is
Name Tag is on.
Name Tag.
Okay. All right. So we've got a little squadron thing going on with Nick in the lead. And then it's like 2-2-2. Okay. All right. As I said, the pier is 20 feet wide. You are not on solid ground. It is sitting on the waves. You are passing other ships as you go. Everything that's in here is smaller boats, really, like yachts and that kind of thing, single mast, narrow, like 10 feet wide, and so on. As you get down to take that right turn, you can see you're going to go right, and then like three berths down on the left-hand side is the ship that is attributed to being owned by the gnome, the Cuss. Okay, I don't believe you ever had the name of the ship.
No, just his name.
Right. Okay. roll a d20 if you would. Chris? Yeah.
9.
What is your wisdom?
9.
Okay, perfect. All right. So you catch glimpse of what might be the gnome on the ship. You see a glimpse of movement, which gives you hope, because it's going to be hard to sail his ship out of the port if he's not on it.
Yeah.
Right? And getting on the boat will not protect them. Like, locked doors will not keep assassins out. I mean, if they get on the boat and stay there, forces will come that will overwhelm them, for sure. So, okay? And so, as you are heading down toward the ship, a number of what can only be described as ruffians. They're rough-looking characters, muscular, light armor, dirty clothes, whatever, with either open hands, or you see one guy has brass knuckles, another guy has a belaying pin. A belaying pin is a pin. It's about this long, and it's got a handle on the top that goes straight down. It's used for holding ropes on a ship, and several of them have that belaying pins, actually. Anyway, they step off of ships nearby, and one guy actually comes up from hiding next to the dock, and they are blocking your way and trying to surround you to stop you from getting to the Cuss's ship. Okay? Mostly, they're lightly or unarmed. You do know that it is a capital offense to kill a man with a weapon who is unarmed in Celeste, even if they attack you. Like, if somebody's strangling you and you kill them with a knife, for example, you'll be tried for murder. So, you know, it's against the law to do that. But it is expedient, obviously, if a big guy's coming after you with his fists, to still use a weapon, but it is against the law, so. All right? So they are 8 strong. There are 8 of them. And then everyone sees them coming. It's not a surprise type situation. And then you look over your shoulder and you realize there are 4 more behind. So a total of 12. Okay? So what do you do?
So there's 4 coming behind us?
4 from behind. 8 in front of you, generally speaking, the front head straight or left and right. They're basically coming up from the sides. There's nobody, like, right next to you. There is a ship to the right, and it's pretty big. It's about 60 feet long, 12 feet wide, has 3 masts, but it doesn't have a gangplank, so the distance between the pier that you're standing on and the ship is about 8 feet. So it would be tough to get over there. And in any case, you'd be jumping onto somebody's ship and getting further from your destination. So,
getting on somebody's ship without asking permission to give you guild.
Perhaps. So anyway, they have not attacked yet, but it is clear that they intend to probably capture you or stop you from progressing. So what do you do? Nick is in the front. So basically, right now, it's you in the front versus 8 guys. One guy has a set of brass knuckles. A few of them have belaying pins.
Oh, Aspen. What's going on?
Okay. He says,
"We're going to take you captive. Turn you over to the Assassin's Guild for money. Drop your weapons and we won't have to beat you."
You can try.
Well, let's see what happens.
All right. Well, here we come.
Okay. Oops, wrong button. Okay. So, as I said, no one is surprised. Everyone can roll initiative. So you roll a d6 and add your dex bonus if you have one. So you are, just a reminder, you're on a 20-foot wide pier. Most of the guys are in front of you. 4 of them are behind you. They all look like big ruffian sailor types. They don't look like soldiers or warriors. So they're probably not as dangerous as the assassins, for example. Also, they are coming mostly unarmed. You're not sure if a belaying pin counts as a weapon or not, but several of them do have belaying pins. As far as the knowing the law, Nick and maybe Toe are the only ones who know that, because you're local. These guys are from further away, so they may or may not. Probably, okay. unless you have a skill like bureaucracy or government or something like that, you wouldn't know that it's against the law to use your weapons against them. And you know they wouldn't know. Whether or not you think to say is up to you. It's a role-playing game. Okay? Bad guys. Okay, so Nick says, it's against the law to use your weapons on somebody that's unarmed.
It's a good thing I don't need to.
The leader snickers when he hears you say that. Okay, so first we're in missile fire. So missile fire would be for somebody that wants to use a weapon or throw something. Right? We don't have any druids, so we won't be doing any magic during missile fire. Did anybody want to shoot or use a weapon during missile fire? Otherwise, we're going to skip straight to melee. You want to shoot?
Yeah.
Okay. He did just say if you use a weapon, it's against the law, but you can ignore it if you want. What's your alignment? Probably not lawful. I don't think we had any lawful people.
Are you neutral?
It's on the top. It says
it's alignment.
The top.
Under your character. It's
either going to have a K. It should have an N or an N.
Yeah, so you're cat good, so you don't really care about the law. It could come back to bite you because they might arrest you or something, but you're trying to get out of town anyway, so it's up to you, but I would say cat good probably wouldn't care. You can use your weapons. So we're going to use your weapons? Okay. Does she sling? Is that what she does? What is her weapon? All right, so you can have two shots. Are you going to hit two different guys, or the same guy twice, or what?
The same guy twice.
Okay, so roll to hit twice, d20.
11. 9.
Okay, so the 11 is a hit, the 9 is a miss. So go ahead and roll your damage. It's d6 damage. Or the one that, yep, that one.
She has 6.
Okay, so she whips her sling, she has her shield on her arm, she whips her sling, and she hits one of the guys in the front, in front of you. He takes it in the shoulder, spins, goes down, and does not get back up.
They don't seem very strong.
They don't look very strong. They look like sailors or ruffians out to make a quick buck. But there are 12 of them, 11 now. So, okay. Any other missile fire? Anybody else in this fire? All right. So they don't have any either. So we're going to go to melee, and we're in 9. So
I'm going to be casting.
You're going to be casting. Okay. All right. So we're. That was 9. 8.
Yep.
Okay. You're an 8. So what are you casting?
I'm going to use my last phantasmal force. Hopefully this doesn't come back to fight me, but it'd be hilarious.
Okay, so there's no one near you directly at the moment. Be aware that if you're up close with somebody and you cast, even though you might have an 8 initiative and you would normally win initiative automatically, if they can reverse their initiative, if that would allow them to strike you because they see you doing something like casting. Mm-hmm. But there's nobody that close, so in this case, it doesn't matter. All right, so we were in 8. Any other 8s? We're in 7.
Wait, how do you tell what your initiative is?
Whatever you rolled on the dice, plus any dex bonus. Do you have a dex bonus?
What one is the dex bonus?
Do you have, what is your dexterity?
Okay,
the one that starts with a
right
D.
17?
So that's plus 2.
Plus 2.
Yeah, so the very, if you look at the first box after your dex bonus, it says reaction and attack, and you have plus 2, which means you have plus 2 every time you roll initiative, and also you have plus 2 to attack with missile weapons. Okay. And then,
if you roll a 5, then you go on 7.
Right, which is where we're going to right now. So, say that again.
I think I was supposed to roll a 9.
Do you roll the 6 on the dice? And what is your dex?
Plus 3.
Yes, so you can go down. So,
I grab one staff.
Alright, you can assume your staff was in hand if you want, if you're walking. Maybe drop a bag or something, whatever was in your hand, and go. So you're, as far as your location in the group, you're ahead to the right behind Nick, and there are 8 guys. So you could basically step up next to him and attack one if you want. Okay, so go ahead and roll the hit.
Which one?
D20. Yep, that was always the hit.
11.
Okay, so 11, plus your strength bonus.
Plus
that's
two.
Gonna hit.
18.
Yep, so that's gonna hit. So now the staff does a d6. So
nice.
Yep. Yep. And then you get your bonus for
six.
And you get your bonus for strength. Wow, that's
18, or is it plus 2?
It's like damage.
Damage is
yep.
plus 4.
Yep, you got it. Yep, okay, so you did 10. Okay, so she steps past you, actually, on the right-hand side, and they're all charging forward. And she swings the staff and brings it up, and it hits him under the arm, and he is thrown off the pier, bounces off the ship on the that's parked there, and down into the water between the pier and the boat. So he's obviously not coming back. Okay? That was
my spell go off in seven.
Really in 9. Go ahead.
Does my spell go off in 7?
Yes, it'll go off in 7. So there were no more 9s. Then we did 8s and you started casting.
Yep.
And now we're doing 7s. Okay. And the spell goes off.
I'm going to make a wave come over the dock, over the pier.
Okay.
To try to take them out.
All right. So all of a sudden the water on the right side of the pier rises supernaturally, and it splashes over the pier where the big group of guys in front, right, in front are, and it appears to strike them with force. However, there is no sound. So the wave doesn't make the big sloshing noise that waves normally make. It looks like it's there, but there's no sound to it. Okay? So we're down to 6 in the front already. Okay, so basically they appear to get drenched. It smacks them. They stagger to the side and so on. And 2 of the remaining 6 are washed over off of the pier into the water on the other side. There's no ship there, so they just go into the water. It doesn't look like it hurt them. It just knocked them off the pier. The others got wet. They do look wet, but they didn't get knocked off. Okay, and we're down to 4 in front now. We're in initiative, so that was 7. Any 6s? Do we have initiative 6?
Natalie,
I have 5. What does she have? Oh, I have 6.
Right. Do you have 6? Okay,
yeah,
we're at right
now.
Does
she have 6 as well?
She already went missile fire.
Oh, she went.
Yep. Okay. So now, Haley has 6.
Yeah.
And what are you doing?
Okay,
so you're back into the left. Behind you is Umbar, but he is looking forward because he put the wave in the front. And you see that there are 2 guys charging up behind him.
Okay,
so you could step behind him and protect him if you want.
All I got is a dagger and a longsword and mace.
Yes, you probably don't have the dagger or the longsword out because you were walking here. So you could draw your dagger and use it. You could draw your mace and use it.
What if she kills someone unarmed? Okay.
Right. If you kill someone unarmed, it's illegal. What is your alignment? I think everybody in this party.
Under your character. It's NC.
NC or NG?
NC.
It's probably
chaotic. Okay, so you don't really care about the law. They brought this upon themselves, as far as you're concerned.
Can she cast a spell?
She could. If she's got something that applies.
Mine's only, health stuff or whatever.
Yeah. So you could draw your dagger or mace and step around Umbar to protect him from the onrushing guys. Otherwise, they're going to attack him from behind.
I'm going to use the mace.
Okay. So you won't be able to attack with the mace until the end of the round, but you'll be in position to protect him.
Okay.
Okay. So she steps around you to protect you from the 2 guys that are charging you from behind. That was in 6. Any other 6s? Then we go to 5. I think Natalie said she had 5. Okay. All right. So you are located. Put your name tag back up again. Hibiscus. That's right. Okay. So, and actually, I put hibiscus on here, so I left off the H. Okay. So hibiscus, you are in front of Raylan. You know that Raylan's pretty beat up, but he has turned around to face them, and he has his shield on his arm, and he has not drawn a weapon. And there are 2 of them charging him as well. There are still 4 guys in the front in the way to get to the boat that you're trying to get to, and they're going to be attacking this round. So what do you want to do?
Can I take my bow out?
Yep. So you can spend the round, get ready to use the bow. Okay. And you're in the middle, so you shouldn't be attacked. You should have no problem getting it out. All right?
What is your alignment?
Yeah.
I'll do the name of character names.
True neutral.
Yeah. Okay. So basically, true neutral means you don't really care about the law, but at the same time, you don't want to break the law if you don't have to. It puts you in the middle. Right? If you break the law willy-nilly, then that's chaotic. That's not neutral. And if you let the law restrain you from attacking and somebody dies, then that would be lawful. So you're in the middle. So getting the bow ready is fine. Next round, you'll have to see how things are developing. And if it looks like you don't need to shoot, you probably wouldn't shoot. That makes sense? So that's how you gotta, you're gonna, as long as your character is true neutral, which will probably be the whole time you're playing, you're always gonna have to kind of balance those things and figure out, I don't really wanna just break the law, but at the same time, I'm not gonna let the law pull me back, if that makes any sense. Okay? All right, and that was in five, you started getting the bow ready. And then, any other fives? Four. Okay, so the ruffians ahead to your left, so not on the side with Lotus. Okay, charge you. Okay, the two guys from the left charge Nick. And the one guy has the brass knuckles, the other guy is unarmed. Okay, so the guy with the brass knuckles takes a swing at you. And he'll miss. The unarmed guy is going to basically try to dive on you and tackle you and get you down. Okay. Pretty low roll.
If you don't want to miss any of the story, Low Moon Origins, Uprising, or Outsiders, like and follow our podcast. Please share it with friends.
Okay, so he basically bounces off. So he jumps on you, kind of put his arms around you, and you just kind of shove him down. So he's on one knee or maybe both knees next to you, and he's sort of reaching up for you, but he didn't get a hold of you, really. Okay? So apparently you're built pretty thick, and he just kind of slugged off of you. He's pretty big, too, though. Okay? And then that was in four. Any other fours? Three. Okay, so in three, the two guys on the right from the front come toward Lotus, okay? One of them is unarmed, so there's a rule that if you're unarmed and you try to charge somebody that has a weapon, the person with the weapon can fend you off. Doesn't mean they don't do damage, but they just kind of like keep you from attacking. So if you roll it to hit, and if you would normally hit him, he can't attack you. So you roll a d20, yep.
Four.
Okay, so he can try to attack you, basically. You had just thrown that guy over, and then all of a sudden the guy's right there on top of you. And so he is going to try to dive on you and tackle you, basically. He's a little more proficient than the first guy, unfortunately. Okay, so he dives on you, and the two of you go flat on the ground. He's basically laying on your legs and upper body. And you take 5 points of damage, but only one of it is real. So how many hit points do you have left currently?
It says hit point 7. I don't know.
So you guys take any damage previously? Or we got you back up to full?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So now you're at 2. But only one of those is real, which means as soon as the combat's over, the 4 will start coming back.
Okay. So
you just record a wound at minus 5. Just put a wound at minus 5. And then next to the minus 5, put a little 1 in parentheses. So we know that 1 doesn't come back automatically. Okay. And you and him are on the ground. Basically, he's laying on your legs and lower torso. Okay. And the other guy has a belaying pin, and he's trying to club you with it, and he missed. All right. So you see she's on the ground. The guy's got her from the waist down, basically laying on top of her, which means she's not going to be able to hit him with the staff. And the other guy's standing over, and he tried to hit her in the head, but she just kind of dodged out of the way, and it barely touched her. Okay. And there are 4 guys. 2 of them are on you. 2 of them are on her. On your side. Okay. Any 3s? Okay, Raylan goes in three.
Are we gonna
and
pay attention?
So does Toe.
Yeah, put the phones up.
Where
are you?
She was on her phone,
she's gone. Okay, so Raylan and Toe are both acting. Okay. Toe charges in the middle between Raylan and Umbar and tries to take out the two guys that are going against Raylan. He's basically going to kind of charge through them. Okay. Apparently he's pretty good at it as well. Okay. So the first guy is knocked to his knees. And so it's like, so he knocked them both to their knees. And he is pretty strong, isn't he? Yep. And so basically what happens is he runs like this. He hits both of them in the midsection. They both go to their knees, and then he slams their heads together. And then he's laying on top of them on the ground, but they're not moving. Okay. And then that leaves Raylan. Raylan steps to the right and tries to pick off the guy that's coming against Iris. And nice. So he has his shield on his left arm, and just as the two guys come face to face with Iris, Haley's character, because she stepped around to protect Umbar, he steps over and just punches the guy in the side of the head, and the guy goes and falls over unconscious. Okay, which leaves the one guy on Iris, and he attacks you with his belaying pin, and he will hit. So Iris will take 2 points of damage. I'm going to put a wound at 2 points of damage. Under wounds, okay. Just put minus two, and it's real damage because it was a belaying pin. Okay, and then because it's a belaying pin, they have a 10% chance of knocking each out straight away. So if you roll, if this is a zero, there's a chance. It is, guess what? 07. Okay, so you're unconscious.
Again?
Yeah. So basically, she steps in to protect Umbar. Raylan takes out the one guy, and then the other guy steps up, and as she's drawing her mace and leaning in slightly, he goes whack and hits her on the side of the head, and she goes dazed and falls over unconscious. And she's just laying on the pier. She's not bleeding to death or anything like that, because it's a special effect of the belaying pin that knocked her out, not damage. Okay. All right, and then that should be the end of the round. Did anybody get missed? Okay, you're ready to use the sling again if you need to. Oh, you have two. Okay, very good. So we're in two. And you have two guys in front of you. They both already attacked you, so you can attack them back if you wish.
Not sap, consider.
You can use the sap. It's harder to sap somebody from the front than it is from behind. Like if they see it's coming and they put their arm up or whatever, you have to actually. It has the same kind of effect as the blame pin does. If you hit them in the head, you can knock them out. If you fisticuffs, like punch, grapple, overbear, whatever, you would get two chances. You could try them both. Like you could try to punch each one once or
try to knock them out. Yeah, get that two piece card.
And you're strong, so that will work in your advantage.
Yeah, I'll try that.
Okay, so that is actually rolled on percentile dice. You get the 2d10. That's a d8. Just like that. Yep, that one and the other one like it. Yep, that one. Those two together. And then you read them in order. So you read the 10th die and then the 1th die. RJ, go check and see if they ended and she left. She did have her order pizza. 88. Okay, that's really good.
All right.
So, plus you get bonuses for your strength. How much do you weigh?
183 pounds.
Okay, so that's a bonus. And then your armor?
Two.
What kind of armor is this? Chainmail?
Plate mail.
Oh. Okay.
And I got a shield.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so you hit him for 8 points of damage plus your strength bonus. And what is your strength bonus?
No.
To damage?
Plus 5.
Okay, so that's 13 points of damage. Okay. And basically what happens is you take a swing at him. He tries to block with his arm, and you punched him in the elbow, and then his bicep basically went into his face, and he twists around and slams flat on the dock, and he's not getting up.
That's another one.
So that went really well. Okay.
Any specific pizza anyone wants?
Not really. Anything? You guys got favorite pizza toppings? Now it's gone. Quick. Go quick. Favorite pizza toppings. Going once. Going twice. They don't have favorite pizza toppings.
What kind of toppings do you guys want?
Marcos. Natalie likes cheese pizza.
It's double cheese.
Okay. You want a salad? Where would I'll be? Okay. I'll take a salad for me. With French. Because they don't have the salt and vinaigrette, which is what I need here or something. Okay. I feel bad for you eating the onions because I really like onions. I like to saute them and they get sweet.
I know, I love them too. It's too spicy. I'm like hungry with them.
But I can't eat chicken.
Yes.
The only kind of chicken I can have is chicken-free chicken.
I can probably do a double cheese.
Pizza? Okay.
That's what I'm
like. They're ordering one, so.
As long as there's no one throwing it.
Yeah, I got a double cheese.
Perfect.
So, I got a meat lover and
yes.
A double cheese.
Okay. So, while you were attacking the first guy, that triggers a second series from the other guy. So, he goes before you this time. So, he's going to try to punch you. And you missed anyway. So, okay. So, now you can try to punch him next.
So, do the same thing.
Same thing. Yep. That's all the high numbers, what you're looking for.
93.
Jeez.
Okay. Okay. That's a crushing blow. So, when you do a crushing blow, it's 10 points plus your strength bonus, and they're automatically knocked out or stunned. Okay, so he goes down.
Skulls.
Right? Yes. He's apparently a moker. All right. So as we end the round, the only two guys who are in the front are the ones that are attacking Lotus. One of them has tackled her to the ground. The other one's trying to shake her with his belaying pin. Everybody else in the front has been eliminated either by the wave or by the sling fire or by your mighty muscles. In the back, there's one guy, the guy that just knocked out Iris, and other than that, they're all gone. So you've had an incredible first 60 seconds. You're definitely winning, no doubt about it. Okay, so that triggers a morale check for them, and they fail. So at the beginning of the round, the one that's on her, plus the guy with the blame pin on her, and the one that's on her, they're all trying to get away. So like, whoa, nine of us just went down. There was a wave, and it's bad. So they're trying to run. Okay, so because they're trying to run, if you want, you can have a sweet free swing at them. Okay, so
as they're running, I'm just gonna go, you better run.
Okay, so Lotus can swing at one of the guys that's getting up off of her. Do you want to hit the guy that tried to tackle you or the guy that
the one that's on top of him?
Okay, so yeah, he's pushing off to try to get away, and then you can try to hit him with a staff. So I roll a d20. Yep.
19.
Hit beautifully. Roll a d6.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. So basically, as he gets up, he starts to try to run away. You hit him in the leg. He trips and falls in the knee. He's laying there unconscious. Okay. The guy that was hitting with the blank pin is trying to run, and he is running toward the Cuss's ship. He's running in that direction rather than back to the party because there's a whole bunch of people there. He's not going to try to do all that. Which means if you want, you could try to strike him as he's running away.
Try to dodge him.
Okay, roll percentile dice. He does have the blame pin. He tries to fend you off unsuccessfully. Say again?
53.
Okay, 53 plus your bonuses puts you in solid punch. So you use 6 points and your strength bonus was 4.
What was that?
Damage on strength.
Plus 5.
Yep. Okay, so it's 11 points. Right? And basically, he spins to get away from her, and he starts to run past you, and you just clothesline him. Put your forearm of your plate mail, hits him in the forehead, and he goes straight to the deck, and he's laying there unconscious. Now, all of these people are being unconscious that way. They are not bleeding to death. They will wake up in a matter of minutes, but you'll be gone by then. So, okay? The one that's on Iris was... Iris is down on the deck unconscious. He turns to run. The only person that's there that can try to hit him is Raylan, and Raylan will try to deck him. which he rolled 96, so he knocks him out. He punches him. Okay. So all 12 guys are down in around 70 seconds. Okay. The pathway to the ship is clear. You've got bags laying around you, stuff that you dropped to start fighting. I assume you're picking up your stuff.
Oh, just like...
Well, that was effective.
Yep.
And we didn't really have to kill anyone.
Okay. What do we do?
I guess we head back to the ship, guys.
Okay. Let's go look for... So we're picking up our stuff and heading to the ship, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. There is no one anymore to stop you, so you just take the turn, and there's the ship laying out before you. It does have the gangplank, and he is standing on the poop deck, so the poop deck is about 5 foot higher than the main deck, and there's little stairs that lead up onto it. He's standing there next to the rail that has the bell. It has the it has a whip staff, which is like a long bar you stand next to and steer. It doesn't have a wheel. And he's standing up there on the poop deck looking down at the eight of you. And is someone approaching the actual gangplank as if to potentially get on the ship? All right, so Nick leads the way and the group is there. Just so everyone's aware, as soon as you picked Iris up, she was conscious. I mean, you just had a kind of Iris.
Okay. Splashing water.
Yeah, it took less than a minute to get her up. Okay. Didn't heal her wounds, all
right? She has healing, right?
I think so.
Holly can just take them on a hit point, correct? Now.
Eventually. It'll take a little time for it to wear off. Basically, if you rest, it wears off 1 point per minute, but you're not currently resting yet. So it'll wear off like one every 5 minutes or so. While you're standing there talking to the gnome, probably a couple of them will go away.
Check out Things Were Different Back Then, the origin story of Lord Victor, told from a certain point of view.
So he is staying there. What you see before you is a gnome. He's about 3.5, 3'10", something like that. He weighs about maybe 90 pounds. He has scraggly gray hair. It's moderately unkempt. He does not have a beard or mustache. His modeling on his face, all gnomes have either solidly gray skin or move toward like Caucasian in a mix. And his modeling is only on the right side of his face. It's around his eye, on his forehead, around his cheek here. Down here is gray. All this is gray. He has a pudgy round nose, as most gnomes do. And as he is standing there, he does not have any weapons on him. And he is the only person on the boat. So in theory, you could just, if he disagrees, you could just probably steal it. But that would be very nice. But anyway.
That's what I plan to do.
As you approach the gangplank.
Let's see.
As you approach the gangplank, he says, "Hot it there. Hot it. I don't think I want your brand of trouble on my boat."
I'll make my way to the front. Pride.
Who that be?
Just me. Hi.
He's looking at your face. How is the color on your face? Did you ever decide?
It's percentages? Similar. It's,
okay, partially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Typically, the illusionists have more Caucasian than less. So the more, like, you have more than 50% of your face, if you have a high wisdom bonus and are illusionist, more than 50% of your face would be Caucasian.
Like, that's usually 70, I think, is what I put
down. Okay, 70%. Okay. So he looks like that matters to him. He raises his eyebrows and says, Are you in trouble?
Well, I was just told that I needed to help them get out of town, so that's what we're trying to do.
So now, you want me to help them get out of town?
I can pay you.
I don't need money.
Oh, well. I'll turn around. Any ideas?
Okay. He's asking all of you.
I can
say.
That's what I'm saying. No.
Bear in mind that probably none of you actually know how to sail a ship, so there is that kind of a snag. So,
we're in a little trouble.
We won't cause any trouble.
Who be ask you to get him out of town?
Isn't that Vinter?
Vinter, your master, who put you on this quest, yes. Yeah.
I'm not sure if you heard of him, but Victor sent me.
Victor Projecto?
Yeah.
Well, of course.
He's a pretty well-known person.
Every gnome knows that name.
I would imagine so. He's a pretty popular guy.
At least in Dulan and Aldufish, anyway.
But he sent me to protect them. I'm not entirely sure why. Unfortunately, the only one that did know is currently no longer with us.
Huh. Well.
But I figured if it's coming from Victor, it's got to be important.
So where are you going? If you leave here, where to?
That's a great question.
Okay. So if all of the elves and Anne know that you were originally on a quest or a mission, if you will, for your father to deliver some ship parts, which you have them, they're brass parts for a ship that was ordered from your father. Seemed like a peaceful mission overall, not a, people trying to kill you type thing. Yeah, it shouldn't be anything like that. And I believe, if I'm correct, it was Lotus that was carrying the parts. Does that sound right?
I have four rings.
Yep, that's
yep.
it. Yep, you have the parts. So you have four brass rings that are designed to be mounted on a flat surface, and then like a rope will run through them or a line. They look kind of small for
I'll
a
turn around and look at the four of them and go, where are you going?
So your task would take you on through what's called the Gnome Hold, which is a nation of gnomes basically, and then on to Geop, and the ship, the person who bought the parts lives near Geop, the capital of Geop.
Yeah.
Oh, well, just in luck then. I was putting off just tomorrow to head to the Gnome Hold.
Do you think we can leave now?
Well, be it as it's not very much of an inconvenience to me, I think I could help you out with that. Can any of you cook?
How do I know that? I
can't. Cooking skill.
Where is it?
Did somebody say they can check non-weapon proficiencies for something like cooking or survival
down here?
Yes, down on the list of skills.
I actually do have sailing.
Oh, look at you. Look at you. So you could steal the boat if you need to.
She could have cracked him upside the head and took it.
Yeah.
Except for him off the ship.
Except that's not nice.
Nothing has been nice.
This town has not been very nice to us,
no.
That's for sure.
I don't have
a room. I can make it.
Okay. Well, you're the cook. Can any of you climb?
Look at me, obviously.
I can navigate.
You're the navigator.
Yeah, I've got navigation in
the direction.
So all the thieves can climb and the assassin can climb.
Okay.
Obviously.
I don't see that.
Oh, you got direction sense?
So it would be
nice. We have direction sense and navigation. That's awesome.
These skills has
gone that way.
Yeah, climb walls.
Okay.
I don't think a single one of us has direction sense for navigation.
All right, so you're the master of the tops.
And I do have land-based.
Oh, yeah, I capsule.
Lotus? He points at Lotus and he says, you're the navigator, you're the master of the tops, you're the cook. We'll find some way for you all to be useful. Come on aboard.
What are your skills?
You there with the wounds. Okay. Pull up the gangplank on your way over.
Right here.
I don't think any of mine are useful.
Well, can you read
in
them
this
off?
Case?
Probably not.
Can you read them off?
Tanner, sewing, healing, running, anatomy, and mimicry, or whatever.
Mimicry is like the ability to make sounds that sound like things. So you can make animal sounds, and creaky door sounds, and fighting sounds.
What was the other one above that?
I'm a bird.
Animal handling. So you could have driven a cart. Always got to check your skills.
Hannah, what's yours? She can sew. Make
there's two. All right. So you're the sailmaker.
I am trying to keep my short sword and my dagger hidden.
Okay.
But I am carrying the staff.
All right. Yeah. Cast off the bow line.
What's your skill?
Don't everybody move at once. Somebody cast off the bow line. I'll get the one back here.
Okay. What's that mean?
Skills, Hannah.
What do you need done?
What do you have?
What does it say?
I don't think.
Let me see.
That's not readable.
It's not readable.
So.
It is readable. It is my handwriting.
Oh, you can turn undead because you're a cleric, right?
Yeah.
That skills be bottom right.
Horsemanship, animal, and is that animal?
Animal handling. So she also could have driven the cart.
Yep.
Because he told you.
No, that's it. That's right.
You're learning as you go. You're new at this, yeah, but that's where your skill you're located at.
I told you I am. Do you have anything?
Appraisal, juggling, horsemanship, lip reading. Is that forging? Dude, that's awesome. You can forge.
It's probably foraging, like find food.
Yeah, okay, it's foraging.
Well, that would be some way, though.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And contortionist and running. Skill?
Yes, fishing.
Contortionist? That's a skill?
Yes.
So I'm assuming it makes it harder for her to get grabbed.
Yeah, or get tied. Like she can
or get tied
dislocate
up.
her joints to get out of bonds and squeeze in small spaces.
Dude, that's awesome.
No, it's not. We can do that.
That is awesome.
It's going to come in handy. Like
that'll definitely come in handy.
Okay, so you are aboard ship. I assume eventually, probably Lotus. It sounds like Lotus is the only one who actually knows how to operate the ship. So between the gnome and Lotus, you get the lines cast off. You get some sail down. You raise the kedge anchor, which is a tiny little anchor. It takes only a minute to pull it up, and the boat starts to pull away from the pier. As that's happening, you can see a group of armed individuals on horseback arrive up where you left the cart, but they'll never get down there in time. You'll be long gone by the time they can get
there. I'll wave.
Okay. So the ship is a small bark, small compared to a lot of the other vessels. So it doesn't have like individual cabins for everybody. There's one extra cabin other than the one that the Cuss is staying in, and after you guys show that basically Lotus is the only one who knows what's going on, he assigns that cabin to Lotus.
I offer it to me and my sisters.
Okay. So it'll be tight, but you could all sleep in there theoretically.
Run the deck.
So the three of you. So they have hammocks in the hold that hang. And
is there like a crow's nest?
So not really. There's a 2-foot by 2-foot wooden platform. Remember, this is a smaller bark.
Okay.
But it is possible to go up there and see far distances and stuff, but it wouldn't be comfortable to sleep. Unless you're going to, like, tie yourself in.
Yeah. Well, I'll just go find a hammock.
Okay.
If need be, I'll find a hammock.
So there are hammocks. He's got the ship would handle up to 20 or 30 crew. So he has hammocks strung in the hold, and you can just pick one, and there won't be anybody next to you because it's just the cost and you
back.
That's it. Hammock?
Yep. Nice. I have a hammock of my own.
Yeah.
Good. I'm taking one on time.
Stay tuned for more Lomunian adventures.